Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, June 30th. I'm Ray Graff. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins is on the line today to answer your policing questions. This has been, over the past few months, a tumultuous time, a stressful time, maybe the beginning of a transformative time in this country. And we will get the thoughts of Albany's police chief today. If you want to join the discussion, give us a call, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email your questions to voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Chief Eric Hawkins, your policing questions coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We're discussing policing today, and on the program, joining us once again is Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. Chief Hawkins was sworn in as Albany's 25th police chief in 2018. He began his career in the Michigan Police Department in 1990, became police chief in 2012. He earned a Juris Doctor from Western Michigan University Cooley Law School, a Master of Science in Administration from Central Michigan University. He is a grad of the FBI National Academy, Eastern Michigan University's School of Police Staff and Command, the FBI Command Institute for Police Executives, and Central Michigan University's Law Enforcement and School Liaison Program Institute. He has long focused on police community relations, including citizen and youth police academies and a police chief's citizens advisory board. Always good to have Eric Hawkins on the program. Just I don't even think I have to say this, but if you call, and I hope you do, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, just remember that Chief Hawkins came on this program to talk to you and to answer some of your questions. So, again, I really don't think I have to say it, but I will. Just let's not insult anyone. Let's not yell. Let's not swear. Let's speak our minds, but do it in a respectful way. And then I won't dispatch you. Our number is 800-348-2551. Chief Hawkins, welcome back, sir.
Well, it's good to be back. Thank you, Ray.
You know, you were on this program soon after you were sworn in. And on your first appearance, we talked about sort of your vision for the way things should go with community relations, with police being part of the communities. You have worked hard on this. Is it being wiped away by the skirmishes, the shootings, the fact that we now have sheriff's deputies and New York State Police on patrol in Albany?
I don't think it's wiping it away. I think that it's making it a little bit more difficult in a way to connect because the dynamics have changed. You know, we've had this global pandemic that we all have had to deal with. We've had civil unrest across the country. We've had this divide between the law enforcement and the minority community that has seemed to deepen because of some of the recent events. And so it's made it look difficult, but I think that we've got some dedicated professionals in this industry, and we understand that these things happen, and we're even more committed to building bridges and helping things to get better going forward.
In the city of Albany, we had a tremendous concentration of shootings over a period of several weeks. Are those shootings now under control?
We think that we're in a good place right now. I mean, obviously, very unsettling. We had a surge that was startling to people who've been around this agency for many years. And we have an understanding of what's happening. We have an understanding of who the players are. We think we're in a good place.
I wonder if you can clarify for me the policy that the Albany Police has with regard to the use of tear gas. I know you used it earlier this month. How do you decide to use tear gas?
When there are groups of individuals who are targeting officers or other civilians in a violent way, or if they're targeting property in a way that could cause some major destruction, then it's a consideration. And here's the key thing, Ray. When we have this sort of unrest that happens, and again, this is not against peaceful protesters. These are against individuals who are hiding behind peaceful protests or who have hijacked peaceful protests and have engaged in violent behaviors. And we have to disperse that crowd. There's a couple of different ways you can do it. Two or three different ways anyway. We can simply have verbal commands to stop, but when you have a crowd that is engaged in that sort of behavior, verbal commands to stop typically don't work. And so we have to either send out officers in order to stop that threat. And when that happens, these officers are in riot gear. They're having direct physical contact with crowds of people. And it's what you see on TV where you have these violent interactions, physical interactions between police and riot gear and civilians. Or we can disperse the crowd using tear gas in order to help us to better identify who those individuals are who are causing the destruction, mayhem, and some of the violence within that crowd. And it's only to be used under very, very narrow circumstances, very limited circumstances, and we are to take into consideration the impact that tear gas can have on uninvolved civilians as well as residents in nearby residential areas.
We're joined today by Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. If you have a question for Chief Hawkins, the number is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We have heard the term defund the police for some time now. Do you support those efforts?
No, I don't. We need police. I mean, if there's an active shooter, if there's some sort of terrorist incident, we have some people. There are some people in our society who are determined to do bad things to other people. We need trained, dedicated, and committed professionals to engage with those individuals. And also to other softer, more guardian type of policing involving community policing and building bridges. We need police officers to do those things in our community. And so I'm strongly against diverting funds from policing, but I do understand that we have to have a system whereby police officers are not necessarily the point of contact for mental health or substance abuse or unhealthy family structure problems and some of these other social problems that are happening. If we can have a system in place whereby other professionals are handling those problems, then we won't necessarily have interventions by police officers that could escalate to use of force situations. And so I understand the philosophy behind it. I support having other agencies and other social agencies in particular handling social problems, but I'm strongly against diverting from police funds in order to do that.
Was New York's new bail reform a bad idea?
I don't know, because I haven't seen the data to support or to criticize it. I've heard anecdotally what happens. You know, somebody gets arrested and they're released, and had they not been released, they may not have committed crimes. And so there's a lot of anecdotal evidence out there. I'm waiting for some of the hard data to come out to give me some hard reasons to either support or to criticize it. Right now, I don't have that.
All right. Our number here is 800-348-2551. We'll take a break in a moment, and then we'll hit the phones. When the New York State COVID-related gathering restrictions are lifted, I assume you will go back to your philosophy that we talked about in your past appearances for community outreach. What are your plans? Once those restrictions are lifted, what are your plans for community outreach?
To reengage and to pick up where we left off pre-COVID. It's extremely important. I mean, it's vital in law enforcement that we connect with the residents in our community so that we can hear, so that we can listen, so that we can share information. That's how communities are made safer. We've gone almost 3 months where we have not had that sort of engagement. We need to get back to it, and I'm looking forward to doing that.
Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins is our guest. We'll get to the phones in a moment here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be right back. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. Our number is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. All right, Chief, you ready to take some calls?
Sure.
Let's do it. Maurice in Waterville Eat, you're on.
Hi, Chief Hawkins. My name's Maurice. I'm in lunch, so I'm going to try to do this quick. I've actually been trying to get in touch with you to give you my list of 15 suggestions, but I just want to say one right now relatively quickly. I think one of the issues with police is that there are too many police in one location. And I think sometimes it creates a pack mentality. And if you could do something about having not necessarily have a less centralized police, like if you had police in different houses, like three police in a house covering an 8-block area with a social worker and with a community room in that building, and just convert some of these old buildings around Albany into satellite police stations, I think that would be helpful. And the other thing is, I would like to see, in terms of it defunding police, I'm not into that. But I think if we added more funds to add social workers and mental health people to the police force that would show up at different situations where a gun isn't needed, and they should be the mental health person should be the first person to talk to the involved person, with the police, the person with the gun in the background. And the other last issue that I'm going to say is, it seems like a lot of these situations get out of hand when going for handcuffs. Like, I'm a black man, and if I see, someone with a gun trying to put handcuffs on me, I'm going to get nervous. I think police should ask people to get into the back seat first. It's a caged back seat. There's no need for handcuffs in a lot of situations. And like I said, I think it's the handcuffs that leads to a lot of the issues that we've seen in the past couple of years, few years.
All right, Chief That's Hawkins, Maurice, you want to hang on the line, or do you want to hang up?
I'll hang on the line because I needed to get Chief Hawkins' email address. I wanted to send him my 15 steps. I'm sure he'll agree with at least half of them.
All right, Chief Hawkins, go ahead.
Yeah, and Maurice, I look forward to hearing your 15 steps. And I won't first, thank you for sharing. And when your first and your third points, very well taken in terms of how police are deployed and with the use of force in terms of the arresting of individuals. Point well taken. Your second point is also well taken, and I think it's the second one, very progressive and very forward-thinking, because I think, Maurice, that as we move forward with some of the reforms that are inevitable in policing, I think we're going to see exactly that. We're going to see police officers that are teamed with mental health professionals, social workers, and other people who are dealing with social issues and dealing with some of these issues that we're seeing in the streets. And so it may take one or two different forms. It may take where those social workers and other mental health and substance abuse professionals are the first responders, or they may be teamed, as you suggested, with law enforcement officers, police officers, when they're responding. And I think that is a reform that is much needed. I think it's something that will help to keep these incidents that we're responding to safer. And I think that our communities will be well served by that. So thank you for sharing that.
Chief, do you have an email address that Maurice or others could, without inundating your inbox, is there a way that we could have people contact you?
Yeah, it's chiefofpolice@albanyny.gov. So that's all one word, chiefofpolice@albanyny.gov.
Maurice, great call. Thank you very much. The number is 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins joins us today. And Todd is in Pownall, Vermont. Todd.
How you doing, Chief Hawkins? Thanks for your service, and we need more police. I disagree with quite a bit of the man before you. Don't ever put down your piece. I don't. Our crime rate in here in Vermont's a lot different than Albany. Year-round, we carry open, closed, on the seat, whatever you got. And another thing, I was buying fireworks for New Hampshire party I went to, and there was 80% New York cars there at Area 51. So they may be coming out of Pennsylvania, but they're also coming out of New Hampshire. And I suggest that more community help get a satch on them and start doing something about their communities instead of just bitching all the time.
All right,
do
well,
something about it.
Thank you for that, Todd.
Community help has a lot of progression in it.
All right, the chief.
Thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you.
Anything to say on that?
Well, I think there's, different perspectives as it pertains to the use of force and how officers should interact with suspects and, at point of contact for some of these incidents. And so I think it's important that we listen. And, just because we've always done it one way doesn't mean that it has to be done exactly that way all the time. Sometimes it may. But I think the important thing is when we're hearing these different perspectives that we at least listen and consider.
Interesting, though, that Todd says 3/4 of the cars at the firework place in New Hampshire were New York plates. Tell me where you stand on the legal fireworks in Albany County, which may be going away very soon, and the prevalence of illegal ones on our city streets.
I've been saying for the last few weeks, maybe the last month or so, that we have got to find out where the supply of these illegal fireworks are coming from and to cut that supply off. We get just a ton of calls almost every night now regarding these illegal fireworks, these commercial-grade fireworks that are just causing this quality of life issue and safety issue in our communities. And our officers are trying hard to enforce it. We're working with our communities to do it. And I think we're making some progress in that sense, but we have to cut off the supply. And so what he is saying, the previous caller, I think is something that we need to listen to. We're working with our partners at all different levels. We think that it's an interstate issue, so we've got federal partners that are at the table with us on this, but we have got to cut off the supply of those.
Well, the discussion in the Albany County Legislature is to basically roll back what has been a 4 or 5 year allowance of what they call sparklers, which are basically low-grade fireworks that don't boom and don't fly up in the sky. Where do you stand on reinstituting that ban?
I see some value to that because from an enforcement standpoint, it's tough sometimes for our officers to discern what's legal and what's not when they're getting calls to these fireworks. And it takes time. It takes too much time when they're investigating. It sometimes leads to confrontations between people when we're doing this. And as we know right now, things are tense in our communities. And anything that can spark, no pun intended, confrontation between our officers and our community is something that we want to avoid. And so by just totally outlawing it and making it so that none of these things are permissible, I think it's easier from a enforcement standpoint for our officers.
Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins is here with us today. The number is 800-348-2551. Lexi in Lee, Massachusetts. You're on. Lexi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Sure.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh,
hi.
Great.
Yes, hi.
Chief Hawkins, I want to thank you for your service. This must be a terrible, terrible time to be a police officer. I want to say I'm vigorously opposed to defunding the police. And in fact, I'm amazed you can still find men and women willing to do the job. I also want to say that I think your supporters far outnumber your detractors. It's just that we don't screen it from the sidewalks. Anyway, thank you again for your service. And with that, I'll conclude. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Lexi. Our guest today is Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. I was having a chat with a friend of mine who's very pro-police, and he said, part of what we're seeing here may affect recruitment efforts 10, 20 years down the road. Are we perhaps looking at a time when not too many people want to be police?
And, Ray, I think it's even sooner than 10 or 20 years. I mean, right now, in this climate, it's extremely difficult to recruit. When young men and young women see how police officers are vilified and maligned and how this profession itself is attacked, then it has an impact on their desire to join it. And this is not to defend any of the bad stuff that's happened. I mean, what happened in Minneapolis was horrific. I mean, it's one of the worst cases of brutality that I've seen in any place. I mean, some of the things we've seen in other parts of the country in terms of unlawful and inappropriate police activity, it's just awful. And nobody, no law enforcement professional with any integrity or ethics will defend any of that. But there's so much that's good in law enforcement. There's so many good people that are doing their best to build bridges and to help to make our community safer. And to see the profession itself at this moment in time to be under attack like it is, it's difficult for us that are in this profession, but it's also difficult for those who may have been thinking about doing it, getting into it. And so, yes, absolutely, recruitment is an absolute challenge right now. It's cyclical. We saw it back in 30 years ago when I was a rookie cop, when Rodney King happened. We saw there was we had problems recruiting immediately after that, and with every subsequent acts of police brutality that we've seen throughout the years, we've seen that there were problems recruiting. It always seems to come back. So I'm hopeful and I'm optimistic that this is just one of those times where we're in a downturn in terms of recruitment, and that we'll come back.
Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins joins us on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. Howard is in New Paltz. Howard, you're on.
Oh, hello, Chief. I have it sounds kind of strange, but I think part of the training could be for new policemen and for the ones that have already been around for a long time and maybe interviewed occasionally for each one to be interviewed with a certain kind of intuitive sense of who might be going off the edge. But anyway, my idea is to have every officer go out at some time, darken their skin and use a beat-up car and go out driving at night and let them see what it might be like to drive at night in the dark skin. Does that make any sense?
Well, that's an interesting way, and I suppose that this is to get individuals to empathize with being a person of color with driving, I suppose is where you're getting with this?
Yeah, especially at night. Okay. And in a car that's not so great shape, sometimes they pick these people out for, they might be suspicious because of the shape of their car.
I see that there's something to where you're going with this. And what I'm taking from your comment is that there needs to be an understanding and a sensitivity and some sort of empathy on behalf of those who may be policing to what others, especially people of color, may feel, I think is where you're going. And so I think there's a way we can do that, besides darkening the skin and putting them into a car and going out. A lot of this can be with, first of all, with recruiting, making sure that we're recruiting good people into law enforcement. It doesn't mean the purest people because, there are no pure people. I mean, we're recruiting from society. Nobody from society is a 100% pure person. We're all humans. We all have, our own biases and things that we have to deal with. And so we're not going to get a perfect person, but getting good people who have the capacity to empathize and to understand and communicate. So we can do that. And then we can have a system in place where if we have officers who are not doing those sorts of things, then there's corrective action all the way up to termination. And so I think we can do this. And we, in fact, we have to do it because right now that's the talk. That's what everybody's talking about across the country.
Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins joins us. Well, what happened in Minneapolis was without question one of the most atrocious and just appalling things that I've seen in decades. How do you, as the leader of all these officers, make sure that you don't have a bad apple in your ranks?
It starts with, again, Ray, making sure that we recruit good people in, but also that we have systems in place to identify those who may have problems and then make sure we take the appropriate corrective action when it happens. I get the question a lot. Do you have bad cops? Do you have bad apples in your department? And the obvious answer is, of course. I mean, in every profession, there are bad apples, whether it's journalism or medicine or education. I mean, there's no place that any industry can go to and say, here, these are the purest people here. These are people who are different from everybody else in society. We're going to bring these pure people into our industry, and they're going to be perfect employees. No, there's nothing like that. We are recruiting from society, just like people in education, medicine, and any other industry that's out there. And people have their frailties. The people have their, you know, things that they have issues with. And so the key thing is making sure that we don't have a culture and practices and policies that promote any of those things that contribute to inequities and discrimination and racial animus within employees. And I think we're doing a great job of that. Can we dismantle this and change it overnight, things that have been systemic for decades? Of course not. You know, I mean, if there was an answer to turn it around overnight, you know, some bright mind would have figured this out 20 or 30 years ago, and we would be fine right now. But we've had the brightest, most enterprising people in our history who've looked at this, and there's been some incremental changes as it pertains to some of this stuff. And I think that we're on pace to still do that. Do we have a long way to go? Of course. Have we made some progress? Yes. Can we do better? Yes, and we will.
Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins joins us on Vox Pop today. Very nice to have him here, and every so often you'll make an appearance, and we appreciate it very much. The number is 800-348-2551. Before our next break, let's take another call. Jim and Adams. Jim, you're up.
Yay, Ray. And hello, Chief Hawkins. I think that, you know, we've been all looking at it, trying to look at it from the standpoint of your side of the divide, if you want to call it that. But we need to look at it from the other side of society. And people need to understand that if they want to have some respect from a law enforcement officer, perhaps they might show just the least slightest little hint of it on their own part. Anytime I've been stopped by a law enforcement officer, I've always locked my car down, turn off the engine, turn off the radio. If after dark, put on the interior lights and get out the registration, if possible, before they approach the car, so that when they do reach me, I'm in full view and I'm respectfully waiting their response. Mm. And it should be that way when you're just on the street, not dismiss them, you know, look away from them, you know, as though they're an unwelcome distraction to your activities, whatever they are, but look them in the eye and give them at least a nod.
All right, Jim, we have to take a break here in a moment, but let's let Chief Hawkins respond.
Yeah, and I thank you, Jim, for sharing that. And that's one of the things that we consistently tell our young people when we have these, how to deal with the cop type things. And absolutely, respect goes both ways. And you're right, we have to have the respect there, but also it's very, very important that we have respect as law enforcement officials when we're in those situations as well. And I see things getting better. I see an understanding, and you know, I'm optimistic going forward.
All right, let's take a break. Our number is 800-348-2551, and our guest is Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. We will get back to the phones in a moment. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. The number is 800-348-2551. The lines are loaded at the moment. If you hear somebody hang up, give it a shot. But we have a stack of emails here. I'll read a couple, and then we'll get back to the phones, Chief. This one came in from Tim in Saratoga. Tim says, I'm not in favor of defunding police, but I'm in favor of demilitarizing police. There seem to be a lot of military-style hardware going to some departments, which increases costs of operating those departments and increases chances of heavy-handed management when issues arise. And that is from Tim in Saratoga. Your comment on that?
I think some of that equipment is necessary to save lives of officers and to help officers to get to very, very situations in which other people are at risk of physical harm. And so when used for that purpose, I'm in favor of it.
All right. This is from Jason in Ulster Park. The chief of police has total denial about the real mentality of so many police. Look at the study from the Plainview Project about police officers' racist Facebook posts. What do you think?
I think that just as I said earlier in the broadcast, that just like in every profession, every industry, there are some people who have issues. There are no pure people. There's not a pot that we can go to when we're recruiting individuals and say, here's a pure person that we can bring in. These are people from society. Society has problems. There's problems with people who have issues with the LGBTQ community, people who have gender bias, people who don't like obese people, and you have people who have racial issues. And so that's where we're recruiting in law enforcement. That's where medicine is recruiting. That's where education is recruiting. And so we have to do our best to mitigate the chances of getting somebody who are coming into our industries with some of those blatant biases, but also have some controls in place to identify them once they get in here and to impose the appropriate corrective action up to and including termination. And if necessary, sometimes it may involve unlawful activities that can involve the criminal justice system.
What percentage of the Albany police force is black?
I would say probably, and I'll have the numbers, if I had to ballpark it right now, and I would say somewhere around 20%, maybe 25%.
Should that number be higher in your estimation?
I think that it would be. I think it's in the best interest of law enforcement agencies to reflect the communities in which they police. And, you know, the African-American community in Albany, I believe, is somewhere around 30% or something like that. So from that perspective, I think that it could be better. But even with that, without that percentage matching exactly, what I hear consistently from people is that they want good police officers. They want conscientious, hardworking police officers that will serve them and help them in this community. And for the most part, they don't care what that officer looks like. Now, I think that having diversity, though, in an organization helps with helping the organization itself interact and connect with the community at large. So I think it's good in that respect. But I'm very happy with the commitment and the dedication of the officers that we have on staff here, with the understanding that we are trying to increase the diversity, both with minorities and women on this police department.
Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins joins us on this Vox Pop. We better get back to the phones here. 800-348-2551 is the number. Dave is in Sullivan County. Dave, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Chief. I think it speaks very highly of you that you will come on and engage the community this way. I'm not in law enforcement, so pardon me if my questions sound a little naive, but there are two things that I've been wondering about for some time. And the first has to do with recruitment. Do you think that there's a role for some form of psychological profiling in the recruitment process to try to, you know, do some of the things that you were touching on, you know, earlier about trying to assess who actually is coming in? I've watched too many crime movies, but it seems like law enforcement does have you know, psychological profiling on the other end when they're trying to, you know, figure out, you know, who's committing a particular crime, number one. And number two, do you think it would be helpful, and would it be possible, if it doesn't exist already, to kind of begin baking into the cake, so to speak, a duty to report? So if officers do see, you know, problems within the ranks, that there is a process, you know, for them to actually do what is very difficult, I think, in any profession, frankly, report that wrongdoing. So it seems to me those two things, if they could be done, would try to help in terms of a, you know, push-pull thing, you know, recruitment, and then for folks who are already on the force to try to do some of the things that you said. So I'm curious your thoughts.
All right, Chief Hawkins.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Dave. And with respect to the duty to report and intervene, we already have that. Our officers have an obligation if they see illegal activities or inappropriate activities from other officers to report that. So that's already in place. And I think it's something that is much needed in law enforcement, and it helps to maintain the professionalism of of this industry. And with respect to the recruitment piece, we have a respected police psychologist that does a psychological examination of every prospective recruit that we have. It's the last part of our background process, and they are required to pass that piece. And that psychologist finds out what the values and the mission, the everything, the culture of our department is, that the things that we hold near and dear with respect to those things, and does a psychological examination that matches all of those things that the department values with the recruits themselves. And I tell you, it's surprisingly, we have quite a few prospective applicants who fail that piece. And, okay, they may otherwise do well at the other parts, but fail at that part. So I think that it's working for us so far.
Dave, thank you very much for that call. Let's go to Bruce in Mountainville. Bruce, you're on with Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Oh, Bruce, your signal's pretty bad, Bruce. Can you stand? Yeah, try
a
different.
Is this better?
Yeah, a little bit. Go ahead.
Is this better?
Yeah.
Okay. I have an out-of-the-box idea that if people who are rioting and in the streets or committing a crime that's even nonviolent, if they knew that they could be found after they committed the crimes, they'd be much less likely to try. And I have the idea that the police can have a device of some kind, mark people who are in the middle of doing riots or who are showing violent stuff. And unlike the guy who ran away with a taser, when the police knew that he knew who he was and knew his license plate number and so on, if someone knew that they could be marked indelibly, like shot with a dye of some kind that couldn't be washed off, or had an attachment to them of some kind of electronic device, I think that would deter people, if they knew this could happen, would deter them from all kinds of behaviors. I wonder what the chief thinks of that.
That is outside the box, Bruce. What do you think, Chief Hawkins?
Well, Bruce, I think that you have something there, and I like your thought process. And I say I don't know necessarily about the exact tactic that you're talking about, but I will say this. We've identified, using some other strategies and some other tactics, a handful of individuals who were responsible for some of that violence that we saw during the riots that we had in our city. And we are bringing those individuals to justice. We've already made one or two arrests. We will be making more. And we will be sending the message that those riots and hijacking these peaceful protests will not be tolerated, and that we will be bringing them to justice.
Bruce, thanks a lot for the call. This email came in from Jen, and the subject heading, Chief, is from a peaceful protester. And Jen writes, I feel protected but not safe. Driving while black is 100% a thing. I see it every day. I'm out. When I see a need for police, it's always the overcompensating local loons with too many relatives causing the problems, and I see very little done about that. I can say that I'm one of the local relatives. We need social justice, not military justice, and that's from Jen. Your comment on that?
I think that we need to listen to how our communities want to be policed. And I don't know the exact experience that Jen is talking about. Obviously, it's something that's very traumatic to her. But we've got to listen now in law enforcement about these experiences that people are having. And it sounds to me, over my 30 years, I've heard the message many times, but I'm hearing it now more than ever, and with more emphasis now, that people really want law enforcement, local law enforcement, to listen to how they want to be policed. Now, this doesn't mean that we compromise any safety and security values. It doesn't mean that we compromise our ethics, our professional ethics or anything when we're policing. But I think one reform that could be done, especially in some of our minority neighborhoods, and especially dealing with minorities in general, I think we can listen a little bit more to hear how do they want to be policed, and then make some adjustments that don't compromise our professional values and our professional ethics. I think that we can do that. Those two things are not mutually exclusive. We can marry their expectations and our professionalism and our experience into a model that everybody is comfortable with. I see that happening going forward.
Let's go to Kobe in Pittsfield. Kobe, you're on with Chief Hawkins.
Hey, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the training with chokeholds specifically, it's if someone is speaking, they have enough air to breathe. So we have obviously seen that that is not the case in every situation. So what would you do? What do you think they could do to change that and keep chokeholds, which could save countless police and civilian lives, but manage it in a better way so that no one ends up dying like in a lot of these recent tragedies?
Chief.
Yeah, Kobe, chokeholds are prohibited by policy. And so our officers are not trained to use chokeholds, and they're not permitted. Now, of course, if there is a life or death situation, then tactics that can save a life can be used. I mean, I think that's an obvious thing for people. But in terms of our use of our normal strategies and techniques for taking individuals in custody and under control, we have prohibited chokeholds.
All right. Thank you very much, Kobe. We appreciate it. Over to Ken in East Durham. Ken.
Hello. Hello, Chief. I'll keep it short, but I was educated by policemen in a junior college down on Long Island, and that's where the education of police began. And during those classroom sessions, for 2 years, over and over again, I heard that the role of the police in a democracy would be to preserve life. And that was our highest value. And I had a lot of respect for that. I probably still do. But everything has changed. Everything has gone the other way. And it's everything is shoot to kill now. And my question to you is, what happened to the warning shot? Where did it go? I haven't heard of a warning shot in 40 years, 30 years. It's shoot to kill. Everything is shoot to kill. The police are trained to shoot to kill.
All right.
And they're
true or not true, Chief?
Warriors.
True or not true?
Excuse me?
True or not true, Chief?
Well, not necessarily. And I understand where Ken is coming from with this, but not necessarily true. We officers, number one, the reason we don't use warning shots is because the only time an officer should be firing a weapon is to save that officer's life or to save somebody else's life or if there's a person who has demonstrated that this person will and has committed some heinous offense and needs to be taken into custody. Just some very, very, very narrow circumstances in which a firearm should be used. And when that firearm is used, we like to say in law enforcement that we're shooting to incapacitate. It meaning we're shooting to stop the threat. And it has to be a lethal threat and a lethal imminent threat to that officer in order for that officer to use his or her firearm. And so, therefore, officers shouldn't be firing warning shots. An officer should only use that weapon if there is an immediate, imminent, lethal threat to that officer or to somebody else.
Ken, thank you for the call. This email came in, and an interesting one from Eliza. And Eliza writes, the chief is right. The problem is with the police, like with teachers, the unions protect the really bad ones, so they continue to do damage without any consequences. A bad doctor is quickly dismissed and faces high malpractice premiums. A bad teacher results in a bad year for a kid or a kid who thinks they can't learn math. A bad cop terrorizes too many people. There are too many bad cops, according to Eliza.
Well, and I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that there are, as I said before earlier in the broadcast, of course there are bad cops, just like there are bad people in other industries and other professions. And yes, unions are very powerful in law enforcement. And I think, quite frankly, that there was a reason and a good reason for those unions to have gained that power and and prominence that they have right now. It's frustrating as a law enforcement executive, just as it's frustrating for people looking from the outside in to have it so difficult to get rid of an officer that you know and that we know has done some bad things and that does not need to be in this profession. And we have some of those. And so it's difficult from that perspective to deal with the system like that, but I understand it. But I also want to say that, yes, we do have bad cops, but the overwhelming amount of number of cops that we have in this profession are hardworking, conscientious, committed professionals who are putting their lives in harm's way to help people. And I have a tremendous amount of admiration and respect for those officers that are doing that. But I think we all have to understand that, yes, when there are those who don't deserve to be in this profession, then we should have a system in place that allows us to remove those individuals.
And I guess that was Eliza's point, that the union is too powerful. Is there a way, and we only have about 15 seconds here, that you could see the next contract to be a little more flexible as far as perhaps rooting out some trouble?
I think it's all negotiable whenever you're dealing with a contractual situation, and I'm not privy to the issues that are on the table. But I think there's an opportunity for some change and reform in that respect as well.
Well, Chief Eric Hawkins, thank you so much for being here. Hopefully next time we do this, you will be back in the studio. But thank you, sir, and good luck. Support comes from Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Quarriers and fabricators used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires. AshfieldStone.com. The Hyde Collection, temporarily closed to support our community, but providing online art activities for families guided by educators. HydeCollection.org and Facebook for details. At College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, for over 30 years, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair and 24-hour towing. Full-service gas includes checking of fluids, tire pressure, and window washing. CollegeStreetMotors.com. Once again, thanks to Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins for joining us, and thank you for listening. I apologize to the many who were on the line we didn't get to today. Hopefully, Chief Hawkins will come back and join us soon. There are many things to discuss. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Charlene Knight took the calls. Our producer is Jackie Orchard. I'm Ray Graff. We will see you tomorrow at 2 for another exciting, as yet to be determined, edition of Vox Pop. Right now, stand by for the book show.